Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. The headlines. The Taoiseach has said an increase to 1 or 2,000 new cases of COVID a day would not be a reason to panic. Vaccine passports may be needed to get large-scale live events back up and running. Digital COVID search for international travel will start to be issued to the 1.8 million fully vaccinated people from next week. The North's Deputy First Minister has described Boris Johnson's plan for COVID-19 reopening as reckless. And Foyle MLP and SDLP leader Colm Eastwood has urged the Taoiseach to amend the MICA redress scheme to help Northern families whose second homes in the Republic have been affected by MICA. We'll have those stories in full and more, as well as Oisin Kelly with the latest in sport at a quarter past five. And now back to our main stories. And the Taoiseach has said an increase to 1 or 2,000 new cases of COVID a day would not be a reason to panic. Cabinet ministers were presented with updated forecasts from the Department of Health this morning. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said even with a trebling of current ICU numbers, that would see fewer than 50 people in intensive care with COVID-19. Minister Varadkar has said there will be an increase in the number of new cases.
The Delta wave is happening, but it's going to be different to other waves, and that's because of the vaccination programme. So 1,000 cases a day or even 2,000 cases a day in a few weeks' time is not the same as 1,000 cases a day or 2,000 cases a day back in January. And that's because the link between cases, infections and hospitalisations and deaths, that's what really matters.
Vaccine passports may be needed to get large-scale live events back up and running. Digital COVID search for international travel will start to be issued to the 1.8 million people who are fully vaccinated from next week. The government is also trying to work out details of how the passes could be used to allow access to indoor dining. Minister for Arts and Culture Catherine Martin says the same system could be used to allow large gigs and festivals to go ahead without social distancing.
The immediate priority, I suppose, is to get hospitality, indoor hospitality reopening. But I do see the potential there, whatever we get working for indoor hospitality, may have the potential to be applied to the arts and to music and entertainment. So obviously, as Minister for Tourism, I have an eye on the immediate. But as Minister for Arts, I see the potential for how it could be applied for reopening our music.
The North Deputy First Minister has described Boris Johnson's plan to ease COVID-19 restrictions in England as reckless. Michelle O'Neill said there are no plans to end the use of face masks in Northern Ireland, and she is not prepared to go to the end of the line with easing restrictions. The British Prime Minister said this week he is confident the majority of the remaining COVID-19 restrictions in England can be lifted from the 19th of July. This includes making face masks now voluntary and ending social distancing. Speaking to media earlier, the Deputy First Minister was asked if a similar approach will be considered in the North.
So in the first instance, we'll not be following the Boris Johnson model. We are a locally elected executive. We must take our own decisions in the people's best interest here. We'll have some discussion over the course of today and tomorrow in advance of Thursday's executive. We will set out a programme of actually how we can remove some restriction, but we're still in a space where we need to be very careful.
Also, 417 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in the North in the last 24 hours. There have been no additional COVID-related deaths, but 37 patients are being treated in hospitals for the disease in Northern Ireland, with five of those being in ICU. The Health Minister expects most people in the 30 to 34-year-old age cohort to opt for an mRNA vaccine. From tomorrow, 34-year-olds can register for a vaccine on the HSE's portal or receive a single-shot Johnson jab from their local pharmacy. Stephen Donnelly says almost 500,000 Johnson & Johnson vaccines will be available this month.
So between June and July, we'd have close to 500,000 Janssen vaccines, so a very large amount given that population. And remember, my expectation is that most people who are 30 to 34, given that the portal is going to open for them this week, will probably opt for the Pfizer vaccine.
Foyle MP and SDLP leader Colm Eastwood has urged Taoiseach Micheál Martin to amend the MICA redress scheme to help Northern families whose second homes in the Republic have been affected by MICA. Mr Eastwood says his office has been inundated with calls from people in Derry who will not be able to avail of the Irish state's redress scheme because it is not their primary residence. He says people who in good faith put a lot of time, money and effort into creating a home are now left with very few options. Mr Eastwood said he was particularly touched by the story of Elm and Philip McDade, who have a house in Dunray. Earlier today, they spoke to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show.
We started building it in the year 2000, and we've used it as a holiday home ever since, with the intention to retire to it. And I have actually just retired this year. But I'm not in a position to think long term now about living in the house in the state that it's in. Within maybe about 5-6 years, we had the web like cracking and thought, oh, you plastered our house. Turned out it wasn't the plasterer's fault. And things just got gradually worse and worse until now outside walls are pulling against the inside walls. You can put your hand in through some cracks. In the wintertime, the wind comes through and you can hear it. And the house is impossible to heat when it's cold outside.
A deputation of councillors from Derry and Donegal are to travel to Dublin to lobby on behalf of the City of Derry Airport. The issue was raised at a recent Northwest Regional Development Group meeting by Derry and Strabane councillor Sandra Duffy. She told the meeting it is absolutely vital that the Irish government meets the commitment contained in the New Decade, New Approach Agreement to support the airport, given that 40% of its passengers come from the Donegal area. Foyle MLA Martina Anderson said it's vital that the two councils are seen to speak with one voice.
Separate delegations had lobbied the Irish government. It fell on deaf ears. So when I got confirmation that a delegation of the councillors from Derry and Strabane and Donegal councils going to travel to Dublin to lobby jointly together the Irish government for further support, then it's absolutely vital that their voices are heard and that the Irish government meets the commitments contained in the New Decade, New Approach Agreement to support the airport, given the connectivity it provides for the wider northwest. Like 40% of its passengers comes from the Donegal area.
Key to the argument, as you've indicated, will be that there are commitments in New Decade, New Approach. There's also the Shared Island Fund, and there's a lot of aspiration in the Shared Island Fund with regards to connectivity.
Absolutely. Look, Derry was cut off from our natural hinterland in Donegal through the disaster of Partition. Donegal, our families live there, our friends, you are our neighbours, and we live cheek by jowl. And the connectivity is required in a number of areas, and particularly the city of Derry Airport. It is simply not good enough that Derry and Strabane Council is left to carry the can in terms of foot the bill for the airport. It's connectivity for us all. We're going to use all the relevant avenues that we have to ensure that the airport has the resources it requires to provide that vital connectivity between the northwest, the rest of the island and beyond. So what we want all that aspiration that we're hearing about turned into reality. We don't want tea and sympathy.
The government has come under renewed heavy criticism for its handling of investment funds buying up housing. This comes after the Business Post revealed funds that buy property to lease back to the state will be exempt from new higher stamp duties. Government brought in measures that would see a 10% rate of stamp duty apply to bulk buying 10 or more properties. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald says there cannot be any exceptions made.
It's lost on nobody that whereas you afford tax breaks for these investment funds, you're given damn all to renters. In fact, many would say if you're a cuckoo, a vulture, or even a seagull in the city of Dublin, you have a better chance now than if you're a young person, a worker, or a struggling family.
Consumers are not benefiting from the reduction in personal injury claim payouts, according to the Alliance for Insurance Reform. Payouts have reduced by an average of 50% since new guidelines were introduced in April. Cabinet ministers are considering a report from the Personal Injuries Assessment Board this morning and will be giving an update on plans to cut the cost of premiums for policyholders. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty has introduced a Dáil Bill which would force insurers to pass on any savings they make in line with the situation in the UK. He says the bill's passage through the Oireachtas is being slowed by government and that needs to change.
I produced legislation that was mirrored on what already happens in Britain. The large insurance companies here are the same large insurance companies in Britain, and in Britain they have to report, indeed in the north, they have to report how they have passed on the reduction in awards when the British government slashed awards there. We'd produced the same legislation. The government supported it, but they said that can't proceed to the next stage for 9 months. It makes no sense whatsoever, because this report confirms that over the last 2 months since these guidelines have come into effect, awards have been reduced by half. That means that the insurance companies are paying out less on awards, but are still unfortunately charging people the same premiums, and in some cases higher premiums. When they lobbied for this change in the law, they said that this would result in motorists and businesses seeing at least 20% reduction in their premiums. That isn't happening, and that has to happen.
So any clapping on the back at the moment is, to say the least, premature?
I made this point when we introduced the legislation, that this is a signal that this will be an issue for insurance companies. They know that they will be monitored on this, so that they will start to pass on the reductions. What we want to see is we want to see cent for cent, euro for euro, passed on to the customer. That was the commitment the insurance industry gave us. I don't trust them, and that is why you introduced legislation. Your listeners will know that many people out there who've got premium renewals in the last number of weeks will have seen no reduction in those premium renewals, and that shouldn't have happened. People should be seeing significant and substantial reductions, and that's why we need to force the industry to pass on these savings.
Meanwhile, government says they will meet with insurance providers to tell them and expect savings to be passed on to policyholders. Tánaiste Leo of Radcare says if premiums don't fall, the government will be demanding answers from the industry.
They'd want to be very good reason as to why premiums don't fall if they don't fall, and it can't be because they're taking larger profits. We do acknowledge, though, that the insurance industry is a big employer in Ireland. We want to have a successful, vibrant, competitive, profitable insurance industry. But many of the reforms that we've introduced now are ones they called for, and called for on the promise, if you like, that if they were done, insurance would become more available.
Donegal County Council and the Killybegs Regeneration Group have announced the Killybegs Regeneration Strategy and Action Plan, which proposes a series of works and upgrades to Killybegs Town Centre in the coming years, which are currently scheduled to be fully completed by 2035. The works proposed are set to be funded by Bord Ishkivara's Fisheries Local Action Groups, or FLAG, scheme, with Donegal County Council matching any FLAG funding. The Killybegs Regeneration Strategy and Action Plan includes a total of 11 projects in the town centre, including a proposed river walk, a boardwalk along the coast, a Weybridge coffee house, the repurposing of the Action Hall building as a craft brewery, as well as enhancing the northern arrival into the town with a proposed welcome quarter. The main goals of the regeneration project include revitalising the town centre, making Killybegs a more attractive tourism destination, providing more areas for pedestrianised and cyclist-friendly movement, and developing Killybegs into a heritage town. Garda investigations are continuing into a suspected arson attack at a garage in Glenties. A number of cars in a recovery truck were set alight. On today's Community Garda slot on the 9 till noon show, Garda Grania Doherty made a fresh appeal for information.
This is under investigation by Garda in Ballyshannon. Substantial damage was caused to a number of vehicles at a garage at Tullyhivenor, Glenties. So that's on the Glenties to Donegal Town Road. We received a report shortly after 4:35 a.m. on Sunday the 4th of July that there was a fire at that location. A total of five cars and a recovery truck had been set alight, and they're all totally destroyed as a result of the fire. So we're appealing for information in relation to this incident, any information at all that could be of any help to us. We're also appealing to anybody who was travelling on the R262 at any stage between 2:30 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. who may have had a dash cam to make that footage available to us. Ballyshannon Gardaí can be contacted on 071 985 8530 or the Garda Confidential lines there as always on 1800 666 111.
It's just past 13 minutes past 5. Sport with Oisín Kelly is up next.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's just gone 16 minutes past 5. That means it's time to go over to Oisín Kelly with the sport.
Thanks, Daniel. We're going to start with some soccer news. Donegal's Georgie Kelly has been named the SSE Airtricity Soccer Writers Player of the Month for June. With 12 league goals this season, the 24-year-old Bohemian striker tops the Premier Division scoring charts. Kelly had an impressive month where he bagged 4 in one night for the Gypsies as they defeated Drogheda United, as well as the winner against rival Shamrock Rovers. Will Patchin, who was with Derry City up until this month, was the runner-up in the voting. Italy and Spain contest the first European Championship semi-final this evening. It's an 8 p.m. start at Wembley. Italy are unbeaten in their last 32 games, while Spain are betting to win the tournament for a fourth time. The winners will play either England or Denmark in Sunday's final. And Leeds have signed former Spanish under-21 defender Junior Firpo from Barcelona. The left-back has signed a four-year contract after joining for an undisclosed fee. Starting his professional career at Real Betis, Firpo moved to Barcelona in 2019, where he made 41 appearances. And Gaelic Games, the teams of the 2021 Ladies National Football Leagues were announced earlier today. Semi-finalist Donegal have four named in the Division 115. They're Jerry McLaughlin, Karen Guthrie, Katie Hearn and Evelyn McGinley. Runners-up Cork lead the way in Division 1 in the selection with six players, while champions Dublin have five. In total, there are five survivors from the 2019 selection, one of which was Donegal's Karen Guthrie. Meantime, the All-Ireland Senior Ladies fixtures for Donegal have been confirmed by the LGFA. Maxi Curran's side will play Galway at Marchvic Park in Sligo on Saturday the 17th of July, throwing in at 4 p.m. The following week, Saturday the 24th of July, Tuam and Galway will play host to Donegal's encounter with Kerry. That one gets underway at 2 o'clock. Tyrone's former All-Ireland winner, Enda McGinley, is unhappy with the structure of the GAA Senior Football Championship. The current Antrim manager saw his players exit the championship to Armagh on Sunday, and McGinley doesn't feel the so-called weaker counties are being properly catered for by the system.
We're very much putting our eggs in the elite team basket at the minute. Like, their plans for the Talton Cup and some of those proposals were insulting. They held nothing of appeal to players, bar some crumbs of being seen by the authorities of giving some extra games to those teams. In no way was the profile of the finals being catered for. In no way was things like prize money, which should be equal between competitions, being catered for. Like, just across the board, it was second class. For a smaller county team to win, say, a Talton Cup, takes every bit the same effort from those players as for Dublin and Kerry to win the All-Ireland.
Tyrone's hopes of a championship run starts on Saturday against the defending Ulster champions Cavan at Hayley Park in Omagh. The Red Hands will look to make home advantage count in what is the first championship outing for the new Tyrone management of Fergal Logan and Brian Duher. Cathal McShane is back in full training and could feature this week, but Dara Canavan is in a race against time to recover from an ankle injury. Well, after a heavy league semi-final defeat at the hands of Kerry, Fergal Logan knows a championship win would restart the season for his side.
You know, a championship win can never be overstated. So to win against Cavan and to beat the current Ulster champions would be a major fillip for Tyrone. But again, you know, we have to prepare diligently. And of course, it works both ways. Every team's hunting for a championship win because it can set them alight. And Cavan will be thinking that too, because, they're the Ulster champions. They've come off a relegation last year and won the Ulster title. So they'll want to set their year alight as well, shortened and all as it may be. So it's a big carrot for everybody, the first round of the Cutthroat Championship, and it can bring teams together. So listen, both ourselves and Cavan and everybody else stepping up in the next week or two, be very, very glad to get a win under your belt and bring things together.
Meanwhile, Dublin and Kerry were again the standout teams from the early part of the season, with some suggesting the gap between the top two and the rest hasn't changed. Tyrone captain Pádraig Hamsay feels only the championship will tell if that is the case again.
I suppose maybe looking over the last couple of games, you can maybe say that. But I suppose you're not really know until the championship kicks off. That's whenever it really matters. So I suppose we'll see over the next couple of weeks where teams really are at. And I know there, with the way things have been with the COVID thing, it was more a couple of games there. We only had maybe four games to really see where we were at, and other teams are sort of the same. But as I said, you know, the likes of Kerry and Dublin are sort of at the top of the game at the minute, so I suppose we're playing catch up to them.
Finally, we go to rugby. Lions defensive coach Steve Tandy says they're open to playing Georgia this coming weekend. The tourists' scheduled match against the Bulls on Saturday has been thrown into doubt due to a number of positive COVID-19 cases in the South African club's camp. The Springboks were due to play Georgia, but they suspended training yesterday while players are isolating due to a positive case in the World Cup winners' squad. The Lions will face the Sharks tomorrow in Johannesburg before Saturday's scheduled clash with the Bulls. That's your sport for today, Daniel. Back with more tomorrow morning at 8:30.
Thanks for that, Oisín. Back to news now, and Gaeltacht Minister Jack Chambers has been criticised for not meeting with Manatee during a recent visit to Donegal. Minister Chambers is coordinating the compensation package to be announced for Gaeltacht areas hit by the fact that for a second year, students will not be attending Irish colleges as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Councillor Michael Colin McGilla Ashbig set up a representative body for the women who look after the students while they're in the area. He says they are not getting the respect they deserve.
We started a process in trying to get the minister to engage with the Moretti. A number of weeks back, there was a group set up throughout the whole county, which I was quite proud to be part of. But unfortunately, the minister made a decision not to meet with the Moretti Tuachtain when he was in Donegal. And I felt that was very disrespectful. Bear in mind that the Moretti are the backbone of the Gaeltacht in terms of the Irish students. Now, I asked Thomas Pringle to raise this for me as a PQ in Leinster House, which he has. I also been in contact with the minister's staff in terms of how this engagement between the minister and the Moretti is going to happen. To date, they haven't had a meeting yet. I am told that there will be a communication sent to them in the next couple of days, and I would be asking other TDs within the county to try to raise this very important issue in Leinster House at any opportunity.
Do we have any indication as to what compensation is to be provided and how and when it's going to be paid?
Well, this is the big question. If you look at the compensation that was provided last year, I felt it was a snub to the Moretti. The Moretti are, in terms of their labour, the contribution to the Irish language is of far more value than what was given to them last year. Bear in mind that the Moretti and the Gaeltacht communities depend heavily on this to pay mortgages, to put children through college, to pay for everyday living. But unfortunately, the COVID scheme did not cover them. If this was any other sector, they would not be left behind. But it shows the disrespect and the ignorance of the government towards the Irish language community.
€40 million in funding has been announced for a new North-South Higher Education Research Programme. Governments say that the money, which will be provided by the Shared Island Fund, will go towards the deepening of links between higher educational institutions north and south, as well as improving links between researchers and research communities on both sides of the border. LYAT President Paul Hannigan expects the college will be involved in a number of applications.
We've been working with the Shared Island Fund in terms of discussions as to where they're going and what their plans are. And obviously, to see something positive like this coming out from it for higher education is really positive development from our perspective. And obviously, with our links in Northern Ireland, with our partners in Ulster University and Queen's University, we would expect that we would be making a number of applications to this fund.
Presumably, you have some ideas and some projects that, if not complete, are very much at the gestation stage, and you'll be able to hit the ground running on them.
Well, we would definitely hope so, Donald. You know, we've a lot of work going on over the years in terms of major projects with both of the universities in Northern Ireland, mainly through Interreg funded projects in the past, but we've built up very strong relationships. You know, we've been involved in the cross-border cluster here with Ulster Northwest Regional College Donegal ETB for the last 3 years. Relationships have developed really strongly. There's good outputs arising from that at the moment, and this is another opportunity for us to avail of further funding.
The other factor that I'm sure is going to have an impact on this is the fact that along with your colleagues in Sligo and GMIT, you're progressing toward the designation of a technological university, and presumably you're going to be in close contacts with your colleagues in the other colleges to make sure that they have some involvement in this as well.
Yeah, the cross-border fund, it's available to all higher education institutions on the island. And so, you know, IT Sligo and GMIT and ourselves would all be involved in this anyway. But as you say, moving towards technological university, and we have an international panel visiting within the next fortnight to assess our application, we would expect that as the only university that will be cross-border or on the border, if you like, in the next while, that there would be an interest in it from the TU as well as from Letterkenny IT.
And now the weather. Tonight there will be a mix of cloud and clear spells with well-scattered showers. Lowest temperature tonight of 11 to 13 degrees. Tomorrow Wednesday will start rather cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, but it will become gradually drier through the day with sunny spells developing. Highest temperatures tomorrow will range between 16 and 20 degrees. Headlines once again this evening. The Tánaiste has says an increase to 1,000 or 2,000 new cases of COVID a day would not be a reason to panic. Cabinet ministers were presented with updated forecasts from the Department of Health this morning. The North's Deputy First Minister has described Boris Johnson's plan to ease COVID-19 restrictions in England as reckless. Vaccine passports may be needed to get large-scale live events back up and running. Digital COVID search for international travel will start to be issued to the 1.8 million fully vaccinated people from next week. And Foyle MP and SDLP leader Colm Eastwood has urged Taoiseach Micheál Martin to amend the MICA redress scheme to help northern families whose second homes in the Republic have been affected by MICA. That's all for now. We'll have headlines for you again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Tuesday evening, July the 6th. The death has taken place of Mary McGillian, née Bonner, 164 Solwell Place, Dungiven, and formerly of Dunloe, County Donegal. House is private, please. Funeral leaving her late residence at 10:20 a.m. on Thursday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Dungiven, with interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Dementia NI, care of Patrick McGrellis, Sons and Funeral Directors, Feeney. The death has taken place of Paddy McLaughlin, 1 Brentwood Park, Foyle Springs, Derry, late of Owen Moore Care Home and formerly of Buncrana. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow at 9:20 a.m. to Holy Family Church, Ballymacgrorty, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Due to ongoing restrictions, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to Dementia NI, 54 Elmwood Avenue, Belfast, BT96AZ. The death has taken place of Doris Gamble, Ballybough, Kilmacrenan. Her remains are reposing at her nephew Ivan Gamble's residence at Ballybough, Kilmacrenan. Funeral service tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Leiter Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral service will be streamed live on Fonzie McElwee Funeral Director Facebook page. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of flowers to RSE Donal Patients Comfort Fund Milford, care of McElwee Funeral Directors or any family member. In accordance with current HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place at her home of Dymphna King, Ní Fhearann, 18 Glenevish Hill, Strabane. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Lefoyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Melmount Parish webcam.